joining us now to discuss his upcoming production of American Psycho the Musical is director and NIDA alumni Alexander Burledge. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, so in terms of being a NIDA alumni, before you completing your master's degree in directing, you completed a bachelor's degree in production. And so yeah. How has your degree in production helped you in directing and bringing your vision of American Psycho the musical to life?
Yeah, well, I sort of originally went to NIDA and trade in production and ended up coming out as a lighting designer the tail end, and had worked on quite a few productions as a lighting designer, and then throughout that time realized that I kind of wanted to do something more, and I wanted to sort of diversify my theater practice, which led me to becoming a director. And American Psycho is kind of one of those pieces that has been sort of bubbling in the back of sort of the back room for a while, I suppose, is something I really wanted to do, because it is so much about this hustle and this bustle, and it allows you to kind of create this world that is, you know, in New York, and it sort of deals with ideas of kind of technology and our obsession with shiny things. So it kind of is it lends itself to a real sort of high design, I suppose, in terms of its presentation. So it's a perfect fit, I suppose, I think.
Right, of course. Well, now in terms of American Psycho itself, quickly after the release of the novel back in 1991, it actually caused quite a bit of controversy and was even banned in multiple countries. Now, were you concerned that a show with a reputation such as this might be difficult to pull off? And how did you overcome that?
Yeah, it's totally something that's really been on our at the forefront of all of our conversations. I mean, it is a novel and a story written by Bret Easton Ellis, which, you know, at its core is a dismantling of ideas of the patriarchy of capitalism and of, you know, misogyny and all these things that come with a world dominated by trying to be the best in a very patriarchal system. And so what we're really trying to do with this piece is really try and find a way that that sort of presents these ideas that are in Bret Easton Ellis' novel, but really critiques them. And basically, you know, we want the audience to, you know, to really look at, you know, these ideas and these events and say, this is not okay. How do we change this world? So, you know, trying to find ways that sort of, you know, mean that depiction or sort of, you know, looking at these ideas doesn't actually mean endorsement, but actually means this needs to change.
Of course. And why do you think this story does actually have quite a cult-like following? Because, like, I mean, on the one hand, it could be because people are critiquing it, but then on the other hand, it could be that people, they're following it because they love it, you know?
It's actually really interesting. There is. I'm finding more and more that there's two camps of people who say, "Oh my God, I really love American Psycho," and there's those who really love it who are actually, I find, deeply feminist and really aware socially, who love it for everything it says about how messed up this patriarchally dominated capitalist world we live in is. But there is also though that weird sort of school of thought of people who actually don't quite get it, I suppose, and see it for just its violence and the sort of the cool, you know, the cool suave nature that Patrick is. And I think we really need to, I mean, what we've been really interested in our conversations is to find a way that we don't glorify Patrick at all. He needs to be this person caught up in this world. And ends up actually, you know, us being like, this is not okay, and go there. So it's so interesting to find that those different schools of thoughts of, yeah, people who think it actually glorifies him, and those who actually see that it's a deep critique of him and the world he comes from.
Yeah, it's actually incredibly jarring seeing how many people online who are like, Patrick Bateman, misunderstood, really cool character. It's like, no.
I know.
That's not the point.
And that's the other thing is I did some reading up about that. It is actually, you know, a very popular Halloween costume for young men in the States. And like, it's really interesting to kind of look at these conversations around this novel and try and reframe it away in 2019 and actually, you know, show this is actually what it could say, and this is, you know, how we should be talking about this work, because it is actually quite profound what it says about, you know, this idea that this patriarchal capitalist world has actually turned us into voids of humanity. And yeah, I think it's a really, really incredible novel.
Yeah. Great, great, great novel. And I think it's a lot easier to kind of, I guess, see that Patrick Bateman is not a character to be identified with, but rather a character totally. To be, like, wary of when it's through the book, you know?
Yeah. And I think there is something you do see yourself in. There are so many moments you see yourself in Patrick. There's so many moments you see yourself in Evelyn, his fiancée, or in, you know, Courtney, Evelyn's friend, and all the other characters in this story. You see yourself in these moments. But I think the strength is seeing yourself in the moment, and then seeing at the point which you say, I'm not that person anymore. And I think it's so fascinating to look at what that point is when you say, I would never do that. You know, we all have these moments where we think these, you know, terrible things sometimes, but, you know, it's what is your line that says you are actually different from this person? What is the difference between action and thought? And I think it's a really interesting piece that throws a mirror back on ourselves and says, how much difference is there actually between you and these characters in this world?
Of course. Well, now jumping to you and your show, we mentioned earlier that the show has had previous runs on the West End and Broadway. Now, how have you been able to stay true to the original productions whilst still kind of making it your own production?
Totally. Well, I mean, we are very much the thing we are, I suppose, sort of cemented by is the text and the music, which is, you know, a really incredible score and arrangements by Duncan Sheik, who also did Spring Awakening. So we have like an amazing foundation of both an adaptation of Bret Easton Ellis's text and this, you know, music, which includes, you know, hits by Phil Collins and Tears for Fears. So that's an awesome foundation, which you don't really want to mess with that much. But then it's about, you know, how do you cram this into a stage, which is probably about, you know, half the size, if not smaller, than the Broadway stage, where you know, let's be honest, have significantly less money and resources than Broadway, but, you know, you really want to sort of shake the foundations of the sort of the intimate space of the Hayes. So Isabel Hudson, our set designer, and Mason Brown, who's doing costumes, have kind of found a way that take it further than the Broadway production did in terms of sort of visual representations of the sort of themes of the piece. So I think we're taking it along, one would say, like a lot more abstracted route.
Hell yeah. Love the abstract. Big fan. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm very excited to hear even more about American Psycho, the musical.
Yeah, no, it's so great to chat to you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Alex. And that was director and NIDA alumni Alexander Berlage discussing his latest musical, American Psycho. Performances begin in May at the Hayes Theatre, located in Potts Point.